Good evening. Good to see all of you tonight and hope that you've got some good plans for this week, as many families will be gathering together, some already have. If you're traveling this week, we pray for you to have safety in your travels. If you have friends and family traveling to be with you, we pray the same for them. And throughout all this time, we hope and pray that we'll not only cherish the time that we have with each other, with loved ones and friends and family, but also that we'll be mindful of those that are not able to be with their families together, or for those who have lost some loved ones and will be missing them for the first time during this holiday season. Up on the screen, you see these gifts, and we're going to talk tonight about the gifts that we receive. Now, from time to time in our life, we'll find some gifts that are given to us that are really special. And as a matter of fact, those gifts just really mean a lot to us. Maybe it's the gift one year we gave some gifts of tickets to a certain ball game, and my two sisters were absolutely thrilled about it. And they didn't really expect it, and so they were all excited about going to that ball game. Other gifts that we receive from time to time, we think immediately, as soon as we unwrap it, we think, okay, don't open that, honey. We'll re-gift that to somebody else later. You know, it's not the same type of thing that you want to keep, you know, because it's not a good gift in particular. But tonight, I don't want us to talk about the gifts that we unwrap. I want us to talk about the gifts that are going to come from God and the gifts that we have in our life spiritually. And so, if you will, we'll be talking about several different passages now. And again, beyond the wrapping paper, we want to talk about the gifts that we have from God. And we have wonderful gifts. One gift is today. Today is a wonderful and tremendous gift. We're not promised today. We never are. And yet we have all these days that accumulate. And after a while, we look back and say, where has the time gone? Why haven't I been able to do this or to do that? And the Bible speaks to that. Paul talks to the Ephesian church. And he says, listen, you need to redeem the days. You need to cash them in. You need to take advantage of these things while there's still time, because these days can get away from you. So as we start looking, the first couple of passages talk about the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is a gift that was given to mankind. That's a gift that we ought not to take for granted. Jesus is a gift to this world. Many times I'll turn on the television set, we'll watch talking heads go back and forth debating about this issue, that issue, world issues and confrontations. We'll also hear them talking about the merits of one religion versus another. Let me tell you something. Many of us have gone through, we've studied world religions, we've studied different types of Christianity, we've studied the Bible. And I guarantee you this, friends, if we will just start and keep reading the Bible, read what God wants from us, we'll see so much of what God has given to us. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says the following. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. Paul recognized, he realized that Jesus Christ is a gift to me, Paul. Jesus Christ is a gift to us, Florence Boulevard. Jesus Christ is a gift to us, each individually as Christians. And when we think about that as being a wonderful and precious gift that's been given to us, it's difficult for us to turn our back on that. There have been some stories that I've been given over the years about people who have received transplants from other people. And when they receive transplants from other people, they really treasure that gift. I mean, that is literally the gift of life that's being given. And as they go through the remainder of their life, they never stop wondering about the person who died in the process of giving that organ so that they could live those remaining days. They look back at that person, as tragic as it was or as short as it was for that life to live. That became then a gift to them. What a wonderful and precious gift it is to think that God gave his Son for us, for the problems that we would face, for the sins that we would commit, for the anger and for the turmoil, for the guilt and the sorrow. Jesus Christ was given as a gift so that we might escape those types of feelings in this life. Secondly, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know that you know this passage, but if you don't mind, look at it with me in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter, here on the sermon that he's given on Pentecost, he's teaching about Jesus Christ. He goes back into the Old Testament. He comes now forward. He's talking about the fact that God has made this man whom you crucified. He's made him Lord. And now let's begin with verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, if you recall, back on the cross, Jesus is on the cross. One of his seven sayings is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is Jesus Christ himself appealing to God not to charge them with that sin. But yet Peter is talking to some of the same people, and when they say, "What must we do?" he says, "You need to repent. You need to change your ways. You need to turn away from evil." He didn't stop there. He says, "You need to repent, and you need to be baptized." Let's continue on with what he says. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." When we think of the gift of the Holy Spirit, sometimes people have thought, well, that means the miraculous gifts of, that were given to the early church, that they might be able to speak in tongues or to prophesy or to have miraculous healing powers. But as we read on with this, it says, "For this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So obviously this gift of the Holy Spirit isn't the miraculous gift. It's the gift that each one of us receives. Do you realize that? That when you become a child of God, that when you make that good confession and turn in your heart that you want to leave sin behind and you want to live for Christ, that's repentance. And when you go through the process of being buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, do you realize that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit now resides in you. Now, there have long since been disputes over how the Holy Spirit operates in the world today. Does he operate only through the Word? Does he operate in other ways? But one thing that we all look at and we can see clearly in Scripture is that the Spirit is in us. He gives us these reminders. He gives us these things that help us to remember, that help us to be strong spiritually. When we call out to God for help and assistance, his Spirit is with us as well. The gift of the Holy Spirit is with us. Not that I can come up and hit somebody on the forehead and heal them. That's not the spiritual gift that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Spirit himself, to be with us, to be within us. So we have, not only do we have God's Son that was given to us and who was here as a great gift, he sacrificed his life. He stood in our place. He stands at judgment ready to take all the guilt of our sins on himself. But also we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit works with us to help us to remember what the Word tells us, help us to make decisions in our life as we recall that Word and the Christian character that we ought to be, that is one tremendous gift that we ought not to forget soon. The third thing then, let's go over to our text from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and let's look at that. The gift of salvation. Paul speaking here once again, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that, not of yourself, it is what? It is the gift of God." Do you see the word gift appearing in all these passages? See, these are the gifts that we receive. We receive Jesus Christ as a gift. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. And now also we can receive salvation as a gift. This is the gift of God. It's not of works, he goes on to say in verse 9, lest anyone should boast, because we're not earning our way in. We're not buying our way in. We're not good enough to go in. This is still the gift of God. It's by his mercy and his grace that he's giving us the salvation. Yes, it is conditional. Don't get me wrong on that. It is absolutely conditional. But God's salvation that he gives freely to all men who meet those conditions is based upon the conditions that he sets for us to follow. He goes on then in verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, we are prepared for good works, but what is it that keeps us from these things? It's the gift of salvation that is prompting us to do it, and sometimes we fall back into sin. The wages of sin is death. That's what Romans 6 and verse 23 says. But the gift is eternal life. I want salvation. I want the eternal life. I want the John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, I've gone to prepare a place for you." I want that mansion, don't you? We want those mansions. We want those places of abode, not because we're selfish, but because that's the good place to be. Have you ever heard anybody say, and this is an old, old saying because it involves a train, "I don't care if I'm on the last train to heaven as long as I get in"? Well, I've heard that before. Well, you ought to shoot higher than that, folks. You ought to shoot higher. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't think about being the last one. You ought to live with confidence. I've known people who have been Christians for a long time, for decades, and they still say, oh, I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. Well, I got news for you. You're not. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. None of us is good enough to go to heaven on our own merits. We must live with the knowledge of the gift that gives us assurance that I'm going. I've got the gift of Jesus. I've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've got the gift of salvation, and you do too. And how can we say that with assurance? Because we are students of His Word. Because as we pore over the pages of our Bibles, we realize that God has planned for these moments all throughout history. God knew that Adam and Eve would sin. God knew that Cain would kill Abel. God knew that Noah would face a world that was full of sin and that we would have to wipe mankind out and start all over again. God knew the struggles that David would have, just like He knew that all of us would have similar struggles in our lives. And every time that we fail God, every time that we fall short, we know that we've got a decision point in our life. You see, because when I fail God, I've got a decision. Do I go back to God and say I'm sorry and give His forgiveness, which I know He has ready for me? Or do I try to do like Adam and Eve and go hide? Well, we ought to know from their experience you can't hide from God. But yet people need to know that the salvation gift is a gift that is given. Yes, it's conditional upon our obedience to the gospel, but it is there for us. Let's look at the next one, which is the gift of justification. Let's go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to be reading verses 15 through 18 here. Romans 5, verses 15 through 18. Many difficult and challenging passages in Romans, but I want us to just focus on the word justification here as we go through this passage. Paul, again, is speaking. He says, but the free gift is not like the offense. We're talking about sin that came into the world through Adam. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came for the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came for many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as much as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in all condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act of the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. What Jesus Christ did on the cross, His resurrection the third day after that, that completed the process whereby we have good news. It's not good news that He died for us because many people have been martyrs for a cause. It's not good news that He was buried because many monuments have been built to honor the lives of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. It is only good news because He was resurrected. And because of that, through that act of offering Himself, we now have justification. Just if I had never sinned is one way that people try to help you to remember the meaning behind that. We've been justified. We've been cleansed of our sins. We've been set back into a position of honor with God because as we sin before being baptized and later after we're baptized, we know the guilt of those sins. They tear at us. They cause us to want to wonder, do I stay with God or do I go with the world and with my friends? And each time when we come back and when God sets us back again and cleanses us from our sins, we're now being justified again through His sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice. Through that gift, we have this. We have another gift, and that is the gift of today. I mentioned this earlier as I mentioned my lesson this morning or this evening, and I mentioned in most of my prayers that I do publicly especially, the gift of today. Let's turn to James chapter 4, a familiar but a good passage that tells us about how we should treasure and prioritize some of the things in our lives. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. James writes and says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. There's nothing wrong with having business plans. There's nothing wrong with having a forward plan of what you'll do tomorrow and next year and 5 years out. That's not the issue here. But the issue here is about planning without knowing that God is in the plans with you. Whereas, he says in verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. When I was growing up and going to high school, we would go through some farmland about 6 miles in town, and before I was able to drive, I'd go with my next-door neighbor, Peanut. He would drive, and we'd go, and I'd look out over these fields, and especially September and October time frame, but September especially, you could look out, and you could see that the fog and haze. That would be a phase if they're both together. I just made up a new meteorological term. Anyway, the haze and the fog, you could see just sitting on that ground, just hovering there. And then as the sun would come up, it would just vanish. It was gone. Where did it go? Well, it evaporated. It went away. And James is saying that our lives are just like that haze that you'll see, or that fog, that vapor that you might see for a little while. You're boiling some water over there. You see the steam coming out. You watch it as it goes up to the ceiling, and then it vanishes. And our lives are just like that. Our lives, whether they're 40 years or 80 years, it doesn't matter. We look back and we say, where did the time go? Where did the time go? Whereas you do not know what will be on the morrow, for your life is as a vapor, which appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Then in verse 15 he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this and do that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Again, there's nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong with saying, next year, you know, we're going to go to Diana singing. We're going to set up a week before. Next year, we're going to go to this car show. Next year, we're going to have another handout for the backpacks for the kids. Nothing wrong with any of that. But leave God in the plans. That's his point. Leave God in the plans. If the Lord wills, we shall do this and do that. I used to hear that much more often when I was growing up. Lord willing, we'll be there. Well, that's kind of the southern way of saying, if the Lord wills, we're going to be there. Not meaning if the Lord is going to make us his puppets to go. If the Lord allows those things, if I'm healthy, if I'm able, if I'm alive, then we can do those things. Always see today as a great gift from God. I shared with you briefly before that after one of my illnesses that really encumbered me, I really began to look at every day as a gift from God, like a lease on life, a new way of living. And the clock started all over again as if every day is a bonus. Every day doesn't seem the same way to me like that, but many times when I look back, I do look back. And I say, this has been a journey. I could have died back at that point. Everything that I've done, every person I've met since then, has all been a bonus, and that's all been due to God. And I thank God for each and every one of those days. Now let's go on and talk about some of the gifts that we do receive. Let's turn over a page or two here in James to James chapter 1 and look at verses 17 through 18. We need to know that all gifts are from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good gift comes from God. And I want us to remember that when we look outside and when we see the warm sunshine coming and as a break to all the dreary weather that we've had, that's a gift from God. And when those storm clouds come again to bring the rain that we so desperately need for our crops and from our yards, that's a gift from God. And that every time that alarm clock or opportunity clock, if you're a Zig Ziglar fan, but every time that alarm clock goes off in the morning and that you wake up, that's a gift from God. That you've had a restful night of sleep, hopefully, and that now you're prepared to do battle with the day's challenges before you. All gifts are from God. Let's go over now to Matthew chapter 7 and a couple of passages here that we'll look at. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Sometimes we think, well, we can give and outgive God, but that's not the case. Look at verses 7 through 12 here. Jesus, speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, says the following. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I don't know how many times we'll sit with people who are struggling with spiritual issues, struggling with physical, emotional, financial, relationship issues, all of these problems that are setting heavy on them, and we'll talk about prayer. How often do you pray about these issues? I don't pray. You're not asking God for help? No. I haven't prayed to God for a long time. You need to help me. So many Christians go through these periods of life where they don't pray to God. They forget how to pray to God. They believe that God maybe has just disenfranchised them from Him at this point. They need help and they solicit prayers from others. Nothing wrong with soliciting prayers from others. But look at what Jesus says. He says, you ask. What do you need in your life? I need relief from this pain. You need something else as a benefit over here. We need healing from X. What is it that we need? Let's ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, those are odd, strange phrases for us to consider. But notice what Jesus does now to explain it. If you then, being evil, and he doesn't mean that they're evil in a bad, bad sense. He's just contrasting this with God. If you then, being evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? I don't understand fully, no one does, understand fully how prayer works. But I can tell you this, if you don't pray, if you don't ask, if you don't seek, if you don't knock, the answers aren't going to come. We need to pray. We need to pray more often. We need to pray more fervently. We need to pray with assurances. Let's go on to the next part here. And that is that our gifts should be used. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I've received some gifts over the years that were never used. They were not all re-gifted. Some were. but not all of them were. And sometimes you receive a gift and you think, what in the world am I going to do with this? And so there it goes. Not all gifts are used that we receive by other people. But listen, we need to use the gifts that God gives to us. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, now this is talking about specific gifts that were given, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, to be a good steward is to be a good keeper of something. We use the word steward in different ways, but in this sense, just think of it in terms of you've been given a benefit or an asset of some sort, and you're to keep it. You're to keep charge of that. Maybe there's a breakable ornament that you're going to place on a tree for your family, and so they give that to you, and they tell you, now, you wait till the proper time to put this ornament on. You're the steward of that ornament now until it's placed on that tree, until you finish what you're doing. So be a good steward of those things. Same is true with the gifts that God gives us. Not everyone is able to stand up here and to lead us in a way in song as Todd does. He's gifted in that way. He has a natural ability. Others have abilities, natural or acquired, that lead them in to do things with ease that others of us would find very, very difficult. Let us use those. Let us administer. Let us be stewards of those gifts in such a way that honors God. Let's look at verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, by whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So through these things, what are we hearing? We're hearing that I ought to be using the gifts that God gives me. I mentioned last week about that tie that I received that had the little jingle bells thing at the bottom of the tie. Many of you have asked about my tie tonight. Oh, is that a musical tie? No, ma'am, it is not. I do not have those. I will quickly re-gift those or find a way to give them back. But in that sense, right, that was a gift. And you see, that was the gift that in a real practical sense, that dear lady was asking me, why haven't you worn my gift to you? I really did not want to, but I did. I wanted to use that. But there are gifts that we have from God. There are gifts that we have to be communicating with others. I tell you, I'm never, never surprised by how open and wonderfully accepting people are of conversation and of warmth, of a true friendship. When we go out into the world, when we talk with people at work and at the restaurant, when we see them waiting in line for an event, and we begin to talk with them, we don't need to think in terms of, oh, this is my only opportunity to say something about Jesus to this person. Just be friendly. Begin a conversation. See what you have in common with people around you. And naturally, those other occasions will come where you can approach the issue, and as a friend, then you can have much greater impact to reach them for Christ. But use the gifts that are in you to be friendly, to be outgoing, to have a care and concern for other people. Use the gifts that are there. And then finally, then, appreciate the gifts that God has given. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, a wonderful passage. We've been in this passage before. I just want to focus on that end verse there. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for His gift. I want us to thank God for all the gifts that we have. The gift of today is only here for today. It's gone after today. If you choose to sleep in tomorrow, if you're off from school and you sleep the entire day, that's your choice. I guess you can get away with that. I can't sleep 24 hours straight. I kind of wish I could sometimes to catch up on sleep. But if you do that, if you sleep through that entire day, guess what? That day is gone. You never get it back again. Every gift is a gift of God. Every good thing is a gift from God as well. Let's treasure the things that we hold so dear. Let's also learn to treasure the things that we sometimes take for granted. And let's always evaluate our position before God, because today God has spared us. He has spared this world, and we have a gift, an opportunity to make sure that we are right with Him. God has a song of encouragement that's been selected for tonight. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either through prayers to make sure that your life is right with Him, we'll sit with you privately, we'll surround you with love as a group tonight. We'll pray with you. We'll help you to get back to that point. Or if tonight is the night that you want to come forward and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to change my life, and I want to die to my old man of sins and put on Christ. Why don't you do that now while together we stand and sing.